All right. Welcome to Security Guy Radio at Black Hat 2017 in beautiful Las Vegas. What's your name, sir?
My name is Travis Farrell.
What's the name of your company?
I'm with Anomaly.
Anomaly.com. All right. Very good. And what do you guys do?
So we're a a threat intelligence platform maker, and what that means is really just trying to help organizations operationalize threat intelligence.
So operationalize, that's a great word.
Yeah. So there's all these feeds out there. There's different providers that provide threat intelligence, and we're kind of the glue that kind of brings that all into your organization and make it useful.
And we've talked that with a couple of people where they have all these software solutions coming in, and they're all individuals, and individuals have to look at the threat on this software platform, and that's not operationalization. It's not operationally efficient.
Right. That's exactly what we try to solve.
And you're going to get hit because you're not being efficient. Not because the software's not doing its job.
Yeah, and not because you don't have the right guys sitting
looking
at it.
Yeah. Brilliant.
So are you the middleman that kind of consumes different feeds into your platform, or do you have your own sensors out there gathering the intelligence and making sense of it?
So we do have some labs guys that do their own research, but really we're there to bring in whatever feeds. We're completely
broker.
Agnostic of where the intelligence comes from,
how
you're gathering it internally. But then we help make it useful and try to give you that single pane of glass so that you're not having to go to 50 different tabs to get passive DNS. Or
single pane of glass, another favorite phrase.
Yeah,
I'm learning all these great phrase.
So let's dive into making that information consumable and useful.
Sure. So when you think about, like, how would a threat intelligence or somebody that's dealing with threat intelligence, how would they go about their job? You know, they're going to probably start with something they saw internally that's interesting, or some bit of intel that they got that looks interesting, and they're going to try to research that, right? Well, some of the same steps that they do every time are very repetitive. You know, going to where is this IP at? You know, passive DNS, what other DNS things have been, domain names have been used with this IP address? And what if I'm paying for intelligence from one of these, you know, intel providers, what do they know about it? You know, if I can get all that in a single page is instantly and it's tied into my SIM, so I can automatically have alerts flagged for that stuff, it makes my life so much simpler. And now I can work through, as an analyst, I can work through more of those in a day, and I can be more accurate in what I do. And that's really kind of the point.
So is this threat intelligence, is this all external, or is there an internal part to this?
It should be both. So we have connectors with, like, everything. So if you run Palo Alto firewalls, you know, so you got stuff coming in from internal, you can push intelligence out to those. Okay. So if you want to take action on something, like you want to block a certain IP address or anything that you've been researching, or a list of IP addresses, you can totally push that out within your own infrastructure.
That's pretty cool.
Now, who's going to use this? Is it going to be the desktop support guy can use it, or too complicated, or is it CISO level, or where are we going to hit that spot of somebody that's going to be able to use it and respond? And my second follow-up question for $20 is, do you help mitigate once it's identified, or are you strictly the identifier?
So, both great questions. It starts with the threat analyst. So if you get a paid threat analyst, like, that guy is going to know exactly what to do with this. But it's not just for that. It's easy enough to use. So if you've got folks in your SOC or even incident response folks that are trying to look up more information about something that they're dealing with, this is a place that they could certainly go and do some of that work. So and any of that in between. The second question of yours is really kind of relates to a lot of the integrations that we have. You know, so if we've got endpoint integrations, we've got integrations with IDS and IPS and stuff like that. So it doesn't just stop at doing research. Now you can take action on any of that stuff that you dig into, and you're like, okay, I know for a fact every one of these is bad. I've done the research. I went all the way to an email address that registered the domain that's bad. I've looked up all of the other email domains that this person has registered, and they all look awful, so I'm just going to go ahead and block all of them, and I can just push all that into a firewall or whatever, and maybe proactively block that stuff before the phishing attack that leverages those domains comes at me.
You're the cyber girl. Ask him a question.
Well, let's go there then. So,
just teasing you.
In your experience, do you find that organizations, because threat intelligence is a huge buzzword,
it is.
All kinds of flavors of threat intelligence.
Totally.
How do you help your clients determine what type of threat intelligence is best for them in terms of leveraging all the benefits out of your platform?
So this is where we have an organization within Anomaly that generates training, that generates different content. So we have some training things, you know, through Anomaly University, which helps educate folks not just on our platform.
Oh, you have your own university.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
But it also helps them understand some basic concepts around threat intelligence and how to be doing that right.
And how to use our tool, how to use our data, how to integrate it into the organization.
Yes, absolutely.
That's a huge missing piece. Because oftentimes, you know, innovative technology companies, they just want to sell the product and get it in. And then as soon as they get it in, it's just like, okay, how do I use this?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
What you're buying may not think that you're buying, because Threat Intelligence comes in an array of offerings.
So, yeah, and that's all great points. You know, there's, you know, SANS did some research. They do a, you know, every year they do this.
Paper.
Well, they have a lot of papers, obviously, too, but they do a survey every year on threat intelligence. And it's interesting some of the answers that come back from that, like what value are people getting out of threat intelligence? And some of the answers, like, being able to proactively stop threats, being able to find things that all of my other security stack missed, you know, like these are big, huge, tangible things. Like, how, if I'm an organization, I'm reading through those results, like, how do I get that? And buying and plugging in a product is not necessarily going to do it for you. And that's where, you know, understanding, like, there's things you need to do to be able to start getting to the point where you're knowing where to look and knowing how to use threat intelligence to find that.
What if you're an organization that doesn't have the resources but needs your technology? So do you offer a managed service that comes in and manages that for you?
We don't, but we certainly provide, you know, all of the tools and resources, so that if there are managed service providers out there that do utilize us behind the scenes to be able to deliver that stuff. But ideally, we'd be able to give them everything that they need. It's easy enough to use out of the box
that
they, you know, we can engage with them as soon as they get the product to make sure that they're getting value out of it. And that's really kind of what we're trying to do.
So here's a zinger for you. You're going to be impressed by this question.
All right.
In the physical world, we used to say you need a threat assessment team, you need a threat mitigation team, you need a threat response team. But that was all done after you identify the threat. Because if I have to say there's a stalker coming to the studio, I'm not done. I haven't done my job because he's on his way and I got a problem, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to catch him before he got there. I want to stop the shooter before the guy starts shooting. Now in threat assessment physical world, we're moving towards predicting behavior and predicting the threat and catching that aggression on the very first stage, which is a nasty email to your boss, which when we go up back and do forensics, we find out that nasty email turned into a shooter, okay?
Right.
I'm hearing the same thing in cybersecurity. Tell me if I'm wrong, that the threat assessment teams are sitting there at the gate going, I'm playing Nintendo. Oh, wait a minute. I got an alert on my thing from Anomaly. I got to do something about that.
Right.
I'm not hearing we're proactively identifying a threat before it gets there. I'm not hearing this looks like it's going to be a threat. I'm going to stop it now. I'm hearing response as opposed to prevention. And you're doing a great job at the, alerting, hey, now you got to respond. Am I wrong about that?
So you're both right and wrong.
Okay.
So threat intelligence in general, and this isn't just speaking about our product, it's speaking to the whole world, of the ecosystem of threat intelligence. It's what you put into it is what you get out of it. So really, you know, I come from a practitioner background, you know, and that's what I did my whole career until recently joining Anomaly. And so when I look at stuff, I'm trying to figure out, like, how can I make this tangible to me? Threat intelligence, you have to really start doing your own understanding of where is this attack coming from? Why was this successful? What's happening there? Anomaly definitely gives you all of the tools to help be able to judge that.
Right.
But they also do give you some of the proactive stuff because, you know, for instance, the attacks, a lot of these nasty ones, at some point in the chain of how they do their attack, are going to have some component that sits behind a bulletproof hoster, right? So if that bulletproof hoster's IP space is known, then those IPs and that infrastructure is known. We may not know the specific threat because it's brand new. It just came out this morning. This is the reactive part of answer. But we know the proactive part of the answer in that we know that this is hosted at a bulletproof place, and we know that everything that comes out of this place is awful and bad. And so you can proactively make block decisions on things
makes
like
sense.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can go research it afterwards and say, well, this got blocked, but why did it get blocked? And then you can fill in the blanks and figure out, oh, this is why it did this.
Got about a minute left. What keeps you up at night? What do you worry about the most?
destructive malware.
Second one today.
Destructive malware. Ransomware is kind of falls into that category because it is destructive by nature.
It's more annoying though.
It is, but it can be destructive. Per the Petya stuff recently. Yeah. So.
Right. But I kind of admire the ransomware. They're kind of capitalists in a way. They want to make some money.
Sure.
Not a nice way, but the end result is pay me and I'll leave you alone.
Yeah, but if they decrypt your stuff, then
that's a problem.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Travis Farrell, Anomaly, ANOMALI.com.
That's right.
Thanks for coming on Security Guy Radio with Black Hat 2017. It's been fascinating.
Awesome.
Thanks, my friend.
Thanks a bunch.
Pleasure.
Pleasure. Right.